that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. This is the pastor's prayer. This is what a real pastor wants. But I want you to pay attention to that last verse, the middle of that verse, and he says, I commend unto you and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are believed, to sanctify. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about how to build yourself up. Amen. You know, as a pastor, my job is not to build you up. My job is to get you to the one and the word that will build you up. Amen. I can't do anything. I can't save you. I can't convict you. I can't convert you. I can't even comfort you. The word of God does that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where your faith is. Now, if you're not saved today, there's only one reason you're not saved. You don't believe the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So if you hear it and believe it by faith, then you're saved. A lot of people are looking for lightning. Now, the day I got saved, there was probably lightning and thunder and earthquakes and everything else. But not everybody has the same experience. Paul, on the road to Damascus, God struck him down. God struck him down, blinded him. God didn't do that to me, didn't do that to you. And it may just be that still, small voice that you hear every time you hear the word of God. Now, if you'll take that word is able to build you up spiritually. Now, you live in a sin-cursed body. You live in a sin-cursed body. And your body's against the spirit. Our body, our flesh fights against our spirit. And so I'm not dependent on my body to build me up.
Right.
Now, I've given my body a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his body. So if it gets sick, it's him. If it's well, it's him. If it's tired, it's him. If it's not, it's him. I build it up in him. Yesterday, I worked with it. Wasn't hardly, well, there's some young guys out there, but there's a lot of old guys. And we were out there working. We were doing man work. And today my body feels it. I woke up in the middle of the night, my neck hurt, my shoulder hurt, my arms hurt, my legs drew up in cramps like that. But you know, this body, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. I know men that's dedicated their whole life to bodily exercise. Some women are doing it now. You buy a $2,000 machine to put in your house with a television screen on it for somebody to holler at you and tell you to go faster. And you go down to church and the preacher hollers at you and says, read your Bible and get mad at him. But see, the body's going to die. And the spirit's never going to die. We're going to live as long as God lives if you're a believer. But if you're not a believer, the only reason you're not a believer is because you don't allow the Word of God to build that up.
Right.
If you receive the Word of God, which says you're a sinner, Jesus is the one that paid for your sins because the wages of sin is death, and you don't have to die and go to hell. You can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive that and say, well, that's true. I am a sinner. He is the Savior. If I go to heaven, it's going to be by him. If I don't, I'm going to go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. Lord, save me. That's how simple that is. You don't have to see lightning or hear thunder. Listen, if you receive the word of God, it'll build up your spiritual life. And look, if you are a believer, we live in perilous times. And a lot of people's afraid to go to church because of COVID and all other these things. But nowadays I'm just saying you probably need to go while they'll still let you. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some Chinese people that got up this morning in communist China and they went to church, and even though they lost their good job because they got saved. And even though the communist government has lowered them on the ladder of citizenship where they can't vote anymore. And even though they threaten them to put them in jail, and they do put a lot of them in jail, they went to church this morning. I saw recently where the Chinese government bulldozed down a church that seated 3,000 people, a Baptist church that seated 3,000 people because they were not approved and their pastor was not approved by the communist government. And there's people in America got up today and said, I don't know why my faith is so weak. I don't think I'll go to church. I'm scared. I wouldn't say that out loud if I was you. I'd hate for some poor little widow lady over in China to have greater faith than I do. But you got to build yourself up. Look, don't expect the government to build you up. That's not why we created the government. This is the last great gospel preaching, gospel sending nation on planet Earth. Amen. There is no other nation doing this. And you think the communist Chinese don't know that? You think the devil doesn't know that? Now, you say, well, that doesn't have anything to do. That's in Washington. Yeah, but what about my house? Am I still a gospel preaching? Is my house still gospel preaching, teaching, example? Is my church still a gospel sending, gospel preaching, example? Bring it down to home. And then if you say no, then you gotta say, well, then I'm weak. There's something wrong with me. I'm anemic. I need to be built up. Now my mama, and she lived to be 99 and a half. And she used to go to the doctor about once a year, she'd get run down, she said. And she'd go to the doctor and they'd give her a vitamin B shot. And she'd go back to about 75 years old. She'd be out there cutting the grass, push the lawnmower. She'd cut the grass. She'd grow a garden, you know, at 85, 80 years old. But every once in a while, we need a shot spiritually. Amen. Now this morning, I'm going to show you how to get a vaccination for spiritual buildup, okay? And I don't care what you do with the other vaccination, but the modern believers in America are spiritually anemic. But I think the reason is because they're misfed. I didn't like what I ate growing up. Did you? I didn't. I hated greens. Collard greens. I love them now. I learned if you put a dead pig in there, them collard greens is good, man. Amen. I hated spinach. I love Popeye, but I hated spinach. I wouldn't eat. Look, there's a lot of things I wouldn't eat, vegetables. We ate pinto beans, and we ate pinto beans, and we ate pinto beans. And every once in a while, we'd get some pork and beans, and every once in a while, we'd get some black-eyed peas. Every once in a while we get some string beans or string beans. When I was a kid, I said, where's the beef? They didn't have a Wendy's. Didn't have a Hardee's. Didn't have a Burger King. Didn't have a Bojangles. You want me to go on? When Hardee's came to town in Lancaster, they sold hamburgers 19 cents. That's how long ago it's been. But let me tell you something. I wanted meat. I wanted meat. But you know, all those vegetables I was eating kept me built up without the meat. Now on Sunday, we get dead chicken. You know, we had yard birds. You just go out there and get one and wring his neck and, you know, you fry him or whatever you do. And I even got sick of chicken. I'm not a big fan of chicken now. I'll eat chicken. I mean, every Baptist preacher, that's a qualification for being a Baptist preacher. You gotta eat chicken. And I'll eat chicken every once in a while. Mama would save up her hamburger meat, and maybe once a month we might have meatloaf, but it has much breadcrumbs in it as it had meat in it. Y'all remember those days? But if you don't eat right, you're going to be sick. Some of y'all men need to listen to that. Every meal I can't be meat. You got to have some things you don't like every once in a while. And you know what I found out? As the years went by, I ate them so much, I got to where I liked them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not saying I'm going meatless. But I don't always have to have meat anymore. There's a lot of spiritually anemic Christians. They like the sweet stuff in the Bible. There's a lot of sweet stuff in the Bible. But if all you eat is cake, you're going to die. You are. You're going to die. Diabetes is going to kill you. You can laugh about it, make fun about it. I've had a lot of friends die because of diabetes. And they laughed about it until they died. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks before they died, they got real serious about diabetes. Too late. But you can't go to church or you can't read your Bible, or you can't pray and just have sweet stuff all the time.
Amen.
There's some hard stuff in that Bible. There's some things in the Word of God that will hurt you. Hebrews 4:12. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts going and coming. And he says it'll even divide the body, the joints and the marrow. And the soul and spirit. It's a spiritual as well as a physical book. And if we don't take the whole counsel of God, we're going to become sick. And I'm afraid our nation Christians are sick because they've not been eating a balanced diet of the Word of God. Well, you better not say anything's wrong nowadays. People say, you judging? I say, yeah, I am. Bible tells me to judge. Well, you can't judge me. No, I can't, but the Word judges you. I'm just telling you what the Word said. If that bothers you, then maybe you better do something. So we've got to learn how to build ourselves up. So here's a few verses that'll put some spiritual iron in your spirit. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. He said in verse 31, therefore watch, remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You think the pastor likes to get up here and preach hard? I do not like to do that. You don't know how many people I've seen come to church and leave church simply because I said something they got offended that came straight from the Word of God. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
So I want to show you a few verses today. I want to show you some verses. Number one, here's how you build up yourself. Psalm 5:3. Real quick, I'm going to go faster. I got 10 minutes to preach, an hour and a half. All right. Psalm 5:3 says this, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. If you want to build yourself up in the faith, you're going to have to look up. And you better start in the morning. You better start first thing. Turn that radio off going to work and pray. Quit singing the oldies and start getting in to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on every morning. Quit hanging around Burger King or wherever it is you eat breakfast and look up to God every day. And look, talk to Him. Amen. People tell me all the time, they say, I haven't heard anything from God in a long time. I said, when's He heard from you? Amen. Seems like the only time people pray now is when they're in trouble. I bet there's more Christians praying when Donald Trump left the White House than they prayed in a whole year. If that's what it takes, that's what He'll give you. That's right. Whatever it takes. But if we're going to build ourselves up, we're going to have to look up. Quit looking at everybody else because everybody's a failure.
That's right.
We have victory in Christ. Outside of Him, we're a failure.
That's right.
You're not going to live one day completely right with God. You're not even going to keep the first commandment.
Amen.
And if you don't know what that is, you've already failed. I'm not even going to quote it. Don't do it. But you can quit worrying about the other nine if you didn't get number one. And we're going to have to look up and say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer today, Lord.
Amen.
Number two, 1 Peter chapter 1. You might want to mark these. Well, preacher, I thought you was going to give us a sweet thing since the government's going to hell in a handbasket and everything. You know what? Jesus was real when Nero was setting Christians on fire, soaked in tar on the poles of Rome to light the streets. Jesus was still real. Jesus was real when the communists took over Russia and destroyed the churches. Jesus was real when the communists took over China and destroyed churches. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whoever's in the White House, I'm not worried about that guy. I ain't going to say I like him. I pray for him. God save him. But I'm not worried about that. Here's what we need to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says this. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Boy, that could count for about half of America, couldn't it? "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know what he's talking about, gird up your loins? In that time, men wore that long gown, basically, you know. Or either they had something they called a tunic. It would come to the knees. And please, let's don't go back to that, okay? I'm getting pictures now. I love you, Pete, but... But those guys reached down and grabbed that gown and they'd pull it up and they would tuck it into their... They called it a girdle, what we call a belt. And they would tuck the end of that thing in. And sometimes they would even take some of it between here and tie it up. And that way they could run without tripping over their own gowns. "Gird up your loins," he says. When I was growing up, we called it tighten up.
Right.
We'd say, "You need to tighten up." I know y'all didn't do that because it didn't work in the mill, but that's what my boss man was always telling me. But look here. He says, "You got to get ready. Because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then you'll know the complete grace of God that I've been talking about." That's what he says in this passage. Jesus is coming. Get ready.
Amen.
Now look, if you're going to build up your spiritual faith, what you need to do is look up, and then you need to realize that as you're looking up, the same one that came down and lived that sinless life you can't live and died in the sinner's place, our place, and rose from the dead the third day to prove that he was God, and God had accepted the sacrifice, and now we can be forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future. And that same one that ascended up into heaven, and as he said in Acts, that same one's coming back just like he left. Get ready. We do not know the day nor the hour. But, he said, we can see the signs of the times. And I can tell you this. It's 2,021 years closer than it was the day he said that.
Amen.
So how close is it? Amen. So, if I'm going to build myself up, number one, I need to look up to pray. Number two, I need to look up because Jesus is coming at any moment. And I need to be ready when he comes. Are you ready?
Amen.
Oh boy. 2 Timothy. Here's a tough one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. What are we talking about, preacher? I'm talking about There's a lot of people spiritually sick that can't claim to be Bible believers, and they don't know enough about the Bible, so they're anemic spiritually. They're not reading the Bible, they're not studying the Bible, and these pitiful little prissy, pamby-amby preachers they got's not teaching them the Bible. It would hurt their offerings. So therefore, that camera is on. My Facebook thing won't work anymore, but now she's put this other camera on me. Here's what we need to do. We need to look up. We need to gird up and then look at chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." The Apostle Paul said, "All right, now you look up and you gird up and get ready, and then I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you." Now, what is the gift of God that's in you? It is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't give the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. He did. They did receive the Holy Spirit, but we as believers, when we were saved, we received the Holy Spirit that day. Now, that doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. It just means he lives in you. He made that promise. So what Paul is saying, you're saved, you know it. Now, do something with that. Do something with that. What are you doing with your salvation? What are you doing with it? Holroyd taught our taught in Sunday school this morning out of the book of James chapter 3. Y'all should have been here. It was good, good. It goes right along with this. And it was all about words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Words and works go together. So if I'm saved, if the Spirit of God lives in me, and I know I'm going to heaven when I'm dying. Now, what is that doing? What am I doing with that? There's nothing else to do with it except share it. Stir it up. Share that. Let me ask you something. If you went to court today and you were on trial for being a believer, would there be enough witnesses to testify on your behalf saying you are? Now, I'm not talking about how you behave. A lot of Christians don't behave right, but people know they're Christians. They're just not good Christians. Is there enough testimony on planet Earth where you've shared the gospel with others that those people would say, "Hey, that's a Christian. She told me all about it," or "He told me all about it"? Stir up that gift that's within you. Look, you're the only Bible some people's ever going to read. All right, Genesis 35, verse 1. Genesis 35, I said you ought to look up, you ought to gird up, now you ought to stir up, and then you ought to do this, Matthew 35, 1. He says, "And God saith unto Jacob, arise." Genesis, what did I say, Matthew? I'm sorry, I got a Matthew, I'm looking up. Next one's Matthew 16, 24. Genesis 35, he said, "God said unto Jacob, arise," what? "Go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." Now listen, when you got saved, you looked up and then you got excited, so you girded up and you begin to run for the Lord. You begin to live for his coming. And then every once in a while, you'll go to church or read your Bible, and the Holy Spirit will stir you up. But every once in a while, you need to get up and go up to where God found you the first time. Every once in a while, you need to go back to Bethel. Now, the church I got saved in is not there. They tore it down. Church is still there. It's a big, big fancy church. But the little church I got saved in, they broke it, tore it down. But I used to go over there sometimes. For years, I'd go over there and get feeling down, and I'd pull up in that parking lot, and I'd park in front of that church, and I'd remember in my mind, I'd look at that church, and I'd say, "Well, there's a church in there, and inside that building, the sixth pew on the left-hand side is where I was at that day when I received Christ." And I'll picture myself coming down that aisle, weeping and crying, and I'll picture myself, the old big old preacher hugged me and say he'd been praying for me for 3 years, you know. And then I'd picture myself going, they took me in a little prayer room, a man named Wayne Henson. took me through the scriptures and told me how to be saved, and he helped me to pray and receive Christ. But I was saved before I ever got back there. I just didn't know what it meant until I got back there. I was actually saved as I walked down that aisle by faith to receive Christ. He was saved. The burdens were being lifted. The guilt was taken off. I was weeping for joy, not misery for a change. And when he got me back there, he took me through the scriptures and told me how to pray. And I prayed. And that finished it off. When I prayed, I felt like this is it. But every once in a while, I have to go back to that. I got to get up and go back. And that's what he's telling him. Go back to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. I think we need some Christians to get up and go back to church, for one thing.
Amen.
I mean, they can go to Hardee's, they can go to McDonald's, they can go to Steakhouse, they can go to Walmart, and they can go to Walgreens, and I can go on and on all day long. But you need to get up and go back to where God saved you. Now, you may have to do that in your mind, you may not be able to do that physically, but if just go back in your mind, and remember where you were at that day and what all happened. And you know what that'll do? That'll renew your spirit. That'll feed your soul when you're feeling like, boy, I done blew it. It's all over. I'm no good. I'm not a good Christian. Go back to where he found you in the first place and remember what you were that day. And then look at yourself today.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm trying to get you some exercise, okay? And then Matthew 16:24. Y'all make fun of me. You'll be old one day and can't see. Matthew 6. And some of you may not make it that long. You better not make fun of old people. Matthew 16:24. In verse 24. Are you there yet? Say amen.
Amen.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, he says it right there. You need to take up the cross. If you're going to get built up, you need some, what do they say down in the gym, Michael? You got to have some steel in your routine. Well, we need some wood in our routine. We don't just need to look to the cross. We need to have it part of our life.
Amen.
You know, I worry about people that are ashamed to be associated with the cross of Jesus Christ. And they call themselves Christians. And you see, I'm a fundamentalist. Fundamentalist just means I believe all the basics of the Word of God. That's what that means. You might be a fundamental in math, fundamental in English. I'm fundamental in Christianity. And I worry about people who don't want to associate themselves with the cross. And I look at these new churches and they purposely have taken the cross out of the building and off the grounds. And they'll tell you, because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, the cross of Christ, the Bible says, is offensive.
Right.
To the world, to the devil, to his crowd. Now, I don't want you to put Jesus on the cross. He's off. Don't keep him on there. There ain't nothing wrong with that cross. He ain't on it. But, and that cross doesn't save me. But I ought to have a personal carrying of the cross. You know, all the apostles, except Judas, of course, died because of their faith. And they said, and it's not in the Bible, it's tradition, but they said, history says that when they went to crucify Peter, he's the only one they crucified, they wanted to nail him to a cross, and he said, I can't die like my soul, my Savior did. Nail me upside down. And they nailed him upside down on the cross. And we're afraid people's going to say something about us. We even believing what the cross did. We've got to take up our cross. You know, people ought to know me, number one, as a Christian. Number one, as a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You see, the day you were saved, you died to everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And that testimony is your cross. And you need to take up your cross. You need to own it. In other words, when people know you, they ought to know there's a Christian. They believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died in sinner's place on that old rugged cross. And he rose from the dead third day. There's a believer, and that ought to be our cross right there. We've gotten the secular world with the Christian world so mixed up now. We've got so much of the world in the church. That people don't think there's any difference between us and all those out there that don't believe. I hate what's going on in our country right now. I hate it. Only way I can change it is preach, pray, and vote.
Amen.
But I watch those Senate hearings sometimes. They got a woman that she's got a backwards collar and a black man suit on, yeah, and keeps her hair cut like a man. And she comes out and prays these fancy prayers. Jesus is not mentioned.
Yep.
Okay. In the House of Representatives, they've got a black man. He's real articulate. He speaks words perfectly. Of course, they're all written down. And he prays this long, articulate prayer about peace and equality and justice and all this stuff. Well, he doesn't say anything about Jesus, no, ever.
How about that?
And he's got a backward collar on. I'd like to get him along one day and say, let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ? If he said yes, I said, well, then why are you ashamed to pray in Jesus' name? Our whole country, when the Senate prayed in Jesus' name, it was a better Senate.
Right.
When the House of Representatives prayed in Jesus' name, it was a better House.
Yeah.
We go out to eat. You ought to say blessing. Dogs don't, but you ought to. You ain't a dog.
Amen.
And all good gifts come from Father above.
Amen.
And you'll pray out loud. I remember one day, a long time ago, me and my wife was eating at this little place there on Cherry Road, and a young couple came in, couldn't have been maybe 20, 22 years old. Beautiful young couple, you know. They were dressed, you could tell they'd been to church. You remember those days? And they sat down and they made their order, and the order came out, and I watched them because they looked, they stuck out like Christians used to. You ain't mad at me, are you? And he reached over and got her hand, and he prayed out loud, thanking God for the food and the day, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what that boy had decided to do? He decided to carry his cross.
Amen.
That girl had decided to carry her cross. And by the way, I really believe that if the boy was wrong and the girl was right, the girl would have carried the cross without him, or vice versa. If we're going to get built up, we're going to have to learn how to carry our cross, because that's where our spiritual strength comes
from,
the power of the resurrection.
Yeah. Right.
That was the most powerful thing that's ever happened on planet Earth.
Amen.
We're fixing to start. Our Democrat friends are still bought by the Iranians, so we're going to have to start worrying now about the Iranian nuclear bombs and the Korean nuclear bombs and the Chinese nuclear bombs. Well, I got news for you. There's something more powerful than a nuclear bomb, and that's the power to raise one from the dead. No man's got that much power.
Amen.
And we need to worry more about his power than we do their power, because no weapon formed against us can harm us if we're building ourselves up in him. We need to take up our cross. You ever met anybody with shame to go to church? I have. You ask them, you say, well, where you go to church? They say, well, I go over yonder. Where? Over. You know why they're ashamed? Because they know that these people laid the cross down and picked up social work or something. I better go home. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It's 10 after. y'all hadn't sung so much, we'd be through by now. Ephesians 4:15. See, you won't blame it on the preacher. Ephesians 4:15, he says this. He said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Sometimes I want to look at a church member and say, you just need to grow up. You ever looked at somebody and thought that? You just need to grow up. Amen? Man, I see these old men. When I say old, I'm 66 and I relate them to me. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
And I think, you quit growing first time you smoked a marijuana cigarette. The first time you drank the beer, a glass of liquor, you quit growing. That's why you can't keep a wife. That's why you can't keep a family. That's why you don't pay your bills. That's why you won't work. Hello. In this life, we need to grow up. But if that's important, what about the spiritual life? He said that we may grow up in him. You know what that means? I started out a little baby. The Bible calls us babes in Christ. When I first got saved, I didn't know a Bible verse. I didn't know a hymn, son. I'd never sung a hymn. I'd go to church and they'd sing. I'd stand there and look at the word, but I didn't sing. And hadn't been going to church that long, you know. And so I was a baby. I had to start with the very basics of Christianity. Some of you grew up in Christian homes, and God bless you. You got such a head start on others like me. And you ought to praise God. You had a mom and daddy that helped you grow up in the Lord. It didn't just get dumped on you one day by a stranger, but your mom and daddy helped you grow up, get saved, and grow in the Lord. And now, we need, as believers, we need to grow up.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says the brethren are not easily offended. If you're walking around all the time, people's got to... Don't say nothing to her. She'll get mad. You know how he is. He's got a bad temper. No, he ain't right with God. That's the problem. You ever met anybody that just got, they got a chip on their shoulder and they just won't, they just dare you. I want my feelings hurt. Please hurt my feelings. That's spiritual childhood is what that is. They're not saved. They're not saved. Look, we need to grow up in the Lord. We need to make the Lord our goal, that we want to be like Him. When you're growing up as a child, you ought to have a father. A lot of us didn't. But you ought to have a father that you can look at him and say, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up. Or you ought to have a mother that you can look at them and say, I want to be just like my mama when I grow up. Well, when I got born again, God became my father, and I want to be just like my father when I grow up.
Amen.
I don't want to be like your sports star. I don't want to be like your movie star. I don't want to be like your rock singer, your country singer. I don't care about the football player. I couldn't even name these people anymore. Thank God I've grown up some. Lady Gaga come on television the other day and sing at the inauguration. I didn't want to grow up. I wanted to throw up.
That's right.
If you're a Christian, you like that kind of stuff, you need to grow up. Well, you're being mean, preacher. Grow up. The Lord may have to say something to a 25-year-old that you can't say to a 3-year-old without hurting their feelings. Amen. We need to grow up. We need to grow up in the Lord. We need to get more in the Bible. We need to get more in prayer. We need to be better witnesses. We need to be better lovers of others and lovers of sinners. What a grow up. Last but not least. Are you feeling sore yet? Yesterday I got out there and I did some growing up. It hurts, man. I'm telling you, it hurts. Acts chapter 20. Well, preacher, I thought I was going to come today and you'd just tell me something. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth, and that sometimes that exercises your spirit and it hurts. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 32 and I'll quit. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, if you'll look up, gird up, stir up, go up, take up, grow up, you'll be built up. I wish some Baptists worried as much about their spirit as they do their body.
Yes.
I really do. You know, you can be sick and be a good Christian.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can be poor and be a good Christian.
Amen.
You know, you can be uneducated and be a good Christian.
That's right.
You know, you can be shy and quiet and be a good Christian.
Amen.
You don't have to be a superstar to grow up. And if you'll do these things, you'll get built up. But what does he mean by that in that last part of that verse? And give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, look here, if you'll build up your spiritual life, it'll transform you. And then you'll realize what sanctified in Christ really means. That word sanctified means set apart. Set apart. Now, I didn't come here to offend you today. I'm kind of like the old Marine drill sergeant. I holler and spit a lot, but after the exercise is over, I'm just old Joe.
Yep.
I just want to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
I'm the pastor. I'm not the best pastor in town. I'm not the best preacher in town. But I know truth when I see it and I hear it. And I just want you to know truth. And truth will set you free.
That's right, man.
Turn off your television this week.
Amen.
Pray. Turn off your radio. Read your Bible. Get the exercise in your spirit for a while. And you'll find out if you'll do that, things don't look nearly as bad as they do when you're weak in the faith.
Amen.
I don't like the way the elections turned out. I didn't vote that way. And if you did, God bless you. You don't have to like it when mine's in there. And I don't like the things that are about to start happening. I've done seen so much about the start. And I don't like that. But every day I get in the Word of God. And every day I pray. And every day I try to spend time with God. And every day I try to exercise my faith. And every day I try to share it somewhere. Because what good is my salvation?
Amen.
If I'm not sharing it with somebody else.
That's right.
There's a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of hurting people in this country. There's probably some hurting people in this room.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. We need some healthy, spiritual-minded Christians that can help this sin-sick world and defeated Christians. If you're not saved today, number one, I want to apologize to you for the church's weakness today that we live in.
Forgiveness.
Number two, I want to apologize to you that some Christian hadn't reached out to you already. But then I want to tell you this. If you'll come to Jesus Christ,
amen,
He will change your life.
Amen.
He'll give you a new mind, a new body, and a new spirit, and you'll look at the world different than you do without Him. And then if you're a Christian, you've quit reading the Bible, get back in the Word.
That's right.
A little collard greens ain't going to hurt you every once in a while. Amen? Amen. Get back on your knees. Talk to somebody besides about somebody. Talk to the Lord. Let's stand. Father, help us this week. I know this was a pastor.